This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. And the Max Kellerman Show is brought to you by Shell V Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. No, Raj, I don't think I need to rehash my tremendous DraftKings win this week. I think we did that at the top of the show. We don't need to reset the next hour and do it again. But if you insist.
We don't have another press conference scheduled. No, we don't have a press conference scheduled.
I just want to say that I won 54 big ones. That's right. Dollars. Off of you and Bill Wolf and Nick Tutz and
Ben Lyons.
Ben Lyons.
He said you were lying. He said you were lying because he also had a Kyler Murray. So you weren't the
only Ben Lyons, he came in last. Tell me I'm lying. No one's looking at his team. I'm looking at the contenders. I am the champion of DraftKings. Isn't it amazing when you play daily fantasy or, when you lose, it's like, bad luck. I was going to take this guy. But when you win, you're convinced you're a genius. I am a fantasy genius. Meantime, I said I was going to take calls. Chiefs are going to be a problem. They had a bad defensive effort against the Raiders. But their defense has been underrated last couple of years. And last year, it was pretty good. It was almost a top third defense. And now they're going to add Le'Veon Bell. Whatever he has left, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was advertised as a weapon out of the backfield, multi-purpose kind of guy. But actually, they've just been using him to control the clock, the ball. Really, it's just time of possession. The Chiefs. Could you imagine your game planning to play the Chiefs and you're like, all right, what they're going to want to try to do is control, beat us with a running game. You can't. You must prepare against the Chiefs to stop all the receivers that Patrick Mahomes, the ultimate weapon under center, has. You have to give them the running game. But that's kind of what they want. Look, when they lost Kareem Hunt, and he got himself in trouble by doing, by committing a crime, Damian Williams stepped in admirably and played clutch in the playoffs, too. But Damian Williams, nice back, was not like an elite kind of electrifying back, but a good player. Kareem Hunt gave you that was the best quadruplets I'd ever seen in my life. We talk about triplets, quarterback, wide out, running back. Add a tight end and tell me a better quadruplet than Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and Kareem Hunt. How about Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Helaire, sorry. Or is it Helaire? Am I just not pronouncing the H at all? It's very confusing. The point is, I know it's very early, but the dude is electric. And I don't know, just give me quadruplets. Give me the four skills position guys. Better than that, give me a quarterback, one wideout, one running back, one tight end. And I know it's a little bit what does that really say, right? Like, it's like when a guy hits for the cycle in baseball. Oh, my God, it's so rare. It's awesome. Yeah, but it's actually better to hit two home runs and a double and a single than a home run, triple, double, single. Just some kind of weird, OCD thing. We like to check every box. Still, just for the hell of it, let's have some fun. Give me a better quadruplets than this. Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and Travis Kelce. An underrated defense, a great coach, and a team where, fine, make it tough for Mahomes. I just hand the ball to the running back. And now you have Le'Veon Bell. You have two running backs, so you can put them anywhere. They can catch passes. Andy Reid on the running game.
Well, listen, we felt like, and this is me talking now, so I didn't think I gave the guys enough of a chance last week with it, and especially the second half. And so we want to make sure that, you know, we're best when we have some kind of a balance going, when you can kind of go back and forth. It puts a tremendous amount of pressure on the defense. And so we were able to do both, and we felt like we needed both in this game.
Think 161 rushing yards is any good? Like, realize you get, oh, he's an all-purpose guy. He may not, like, run between the tackles type guy necessarily for them, but they don't really need that. What they need, 161 yards on the ground. 161 yards on the ground. One dude. And now you're going to add Le'Veon Bell? That's the best you can do? Hey, do we have the sound from Patrick Mahomes from earlier, guys? I want to play that. Let's listen to what Patrick Mahomes had to say.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we had a few more pass plays called. I mean, we always do. But, I mean, once we saw that, how deep their linebackers and safeties and corners were playing, we knew that we had the run. We had the run game. And so we really just stayed with it. And if teams are going to play us like this, you're going to see us running the football, and we have the guys that can do it.
I mean, it's like fighting Sugar Ray Robinson back in the day. Don't box with this guy. He's you know, in welterweight. He's too tall, too long a reach. Hands are too fast. Footwork's too good. Too good a boxer. Don't punch with him either. You want to punch with him? One of the greatest punchers of all time and one of the greatest chins of all time. In other words, he's just better than you. The Chiefs are just better than everybody. They're better than everyone. I'm taking them against the field. And by the way, here is the scary thing about the Chiefs. This is what's actually scary. They have an underrated defense. A couple years ago, they were good enough. And they should have won the Super Bowl. Pre-snap penalty, AFC championship game. Tom Brady throws an interception, game over, Chiefs advance to the Super Bowl. Oh, wait, no, pre-snap penalty. Give him the ball back. Tom Brady never looks back. And Mahomes never gets to touch the ball in overtime. Understand, if not for that pre-snap penalty, the Chiefs play the Rams in the Super Bowl, probably win. But their defense wasn't that good. It was good enough, it looked like. Following year, last year, they had almost a top third defense. I want to say they were the 11th ranked defense out of 32 teams. Just call it a top third defense. And they won the Super Bowl. Here's the crazy thing. What if the Chiefs, like, look at the Bucs defense. What if the Chiefs actually develop a defense like that, where you're looking at them with, like, a top five defense? Ugh. Even without it, I'm just telling you, I've never experienced this before. I see where people might think they're flawed, and I agree. I'm taking them against the field as though it's the NBA, not the odds-on favorite. I think they're just the favorites. We got them now. We're going to make them run the ball. Okay, here, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Here's 161 yards. And the Bills, by the way, are a good defensive team. They're a good defensive team. Josh Allen, you know, he's had a couple of games not so great, but start the season, it was like, wait, he's an MVP candidate. Big arm, making better decisions, athletic, winning big games, putting up numbers. But it was still like, yeah, but when you think Bills, it's really the defense. Okay. All right. Good luck with this team. Do I have time to take a caller, or is Clarence Hill already on the line, Raj? Oh, good. Clarence Hill from the Dallas-Fort Worth Star-Telegram joins me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Clarence, are you there?
What's up, man? How are you doing?
Better than you this morning, I suspect.
I'm fine. It's the Cowboys that aren't doing so good. Jerry Jones is not doing so good. Mike McCarthy's not doing so good. I'm fine. I'm eating their papados.
Look, Clarence, this is my thing about Jerry. Let's talk about Mike McCarthy. I haven't done that yet today on this show. I did it on First Take. When they hired Mike McCarthy, no one was beating down this dude's door. He was not coaching. He lost his job because he hadn't changed with the league. Jerry Jones looks around, hires him, and then they start talking about, well, he did some soul searching, looked in the mirror, found out he needed to learn more about analytics, and got himself a calculator and a protractor, and now he's ready to be a head coach again. But Clarence, to my mind, they were just looking for a dude who looked the part, with a pedigree they could sell to their fan base, a resume they could sell to their fan base, because Jason Garrett didn't have it, and that was Jerry's boy. But Jerry with his ego is never going to go get a Jimmy Johnson or a Bill Parcells again, someone who's going to get too much credit if they win. and therefore you wind up with a second-rate coach. I know Mike McCarthy won the Super Bowl. I get it, but that was years ago. I'm talking about for this NFL. Your thoughts on McCarthy?
Well, you know, they were thinking, hoping they were getting somebody, Bill Parcells, Jimmy Johnson-esque, because of Mike McCarthy's resume. Last year, they said they had the talent. They blamed much of the breakdowns on the coaching. That's why they fired Jason Garrett. They felt that Mike McCarthy, his experience, one reason why they didn't want to go get a young coach or a college coach is because they wanted a proven winner because they thought they had the talent on the team to win now. It was never going to be a honeymoon. Jerry has to I look like he's been, you know, misled with what they're getting from Mike McCarthy and his coaching staff, because the coaching staff has let this team down on every level. You look at the defense, you look at special teams. It's been an abominable performance by the Cowboys, but most especially by this coaching staff. Jerry has to be let down.
Word on the street, I'm a suspect. Okay, word on the street, players aren't happy. What do you hear, Clarence?
Players have not been happy, you know, and they've been quietly mumbling, especially, and they're mostly talking about the defense, you know, because that's where the grumbling and that's where the struggles are as far as not knowing what they're doing, not being in position, all the indecision, and certainly the coach is not helping them get right, you know, and that's where the struggles are, because you look offensively, it's not a coaching issue. It's, you know, it's an injury issue with the offensive line. They don't have Dak Prescott. You know, they put up numbers offensively. They just had some turnovers that have hurt themselves. But when coaches are pointing, when the players are pointing fingers at the coaching staff and not been able to fix it, they're talking about the defense. They're talking about Mike Nolan's defense. And you look back at Mike Nolan's career, when has he ever had great defense? You know, and you don't bring up Baltimore, because every coordinator had great defense with Baltimore and Ray Lewis, and they got a whole lot of coordinators' jobs. That don't mean that the coordinators were all great. And that's been an issue, this defense. They went from a simple defense last year under Rob Marinelli and Chris Bashard to this complicated defense, allegedly, with, you know, 3-4 and 4-3 and multiples and all this other stuff. And the Cowboys look lost. This defense is on pace to certainly break the team record for points allowed and threaten the NFL record for points allowed. I mean, they've allowed 34 points in each of the last five games. You just can't do that.
Well, look, they have names on the defense. And last year, I loved the linebacking core going into the season. But the linebacking core was exposed as inexperienced, I thought, at times, and really underperformed. But this year, no one expected the defense to be great. They did expect the offense to be good, and without Dak Prescott, we haven't seen that either, although it's a very small sample size. Clarence, I expect when they start playing the NFC East, Washington and the Giants, that Dalton will start to look a lot better. What's your feeling about what you've seen? Obviously a very bad start, but what do you think about Andy Dalton's prospects the rest of this season?
Well, let's just say this. Dak covered up a lot of stuff. You know, I remember in the past weeks, everybody saying, talking about Dak's yardage. Well, you know, they're coming from behind. They're garbage points. Everybody can get a lot of points, a lot of yardage when you're throwing it 50 times a game. Well, Andy Dalton dropped back 50 times against the Cardinals and barely threw for 250 yards. I think he had 266. Dak Prescott had three straight games, NFL record of 450 yards or more. Yes, they missed Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott, at least when they were behind, they were competitive. They came back in games. They won one, but they all made them close. It had a lot to do with Dak Prescott. You saw last night, when they got behind, there was no hope in coming back. So Dak Prescott is a huge difference maker in what they do. But again, this team is not good enough, even with Dak Prescott, but especially with Andy Dalton. If they're going to turn the ball over and not stop anybody, they're not good enough to come back, even in the NFC East. So, yes, they have a chance. They got two road games at the Redskins and at the Eagles. The East is bad. The Redskins are horrible. I fear for Andy Dalton against that Redskin defense line. They may be a bad football team. That defense line is one of the best in the league. They're going to be on his butt.
Clarence Hill from the Dallas-Fort Worth Star-Telegram on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. I agree with you about Dalton. He looked bad, although I suspect against the NFC East he'll start to look a lot better. But the fact of the matter is there is a tipping point on an offensive line. And Dalton just made Dak some money as the bottom line. But there's a tipping point on an offensive line. The Cowboys put their money where their mouth is. Like, teams like the Giants always say, oh, we want to fix the line. Go ahead and draft the old lineman in the first round year after year after year. It's a first-round pick, a third-round pick, a second-round. The Dallas Cowboys, I think it was 4 out of 5 years, drafted an offensive lineman. It was something ridiculous like that. But Travis Frederick is retired, and both their Lyle Collins and Smith are both hurt. And then Zach Martin gets hurt. Clowney's at a certain point. Like, you can't run block. You can't pass protect. What are you supposed to do on offense?
I don't. You're supposed to feed Zeke. You're supposed to feed your $90 million running back. Your $90 million running back can't turn the ball over. Okay, he cannot turn the ball over the way he's turned the ball over this year. He has 4 lost fumbles this year. He had 5 in the previous 4 years combined. This can't be Zeke. You got to be able to lean on Zeke to take some pressure off of Dalton. And again, you say the NFC East, but the Eagles defensive line and the Redskins defensive line—that's the strength of those teams. And that's right at the Cowboys' weakness, those offensive lines.
Well, that's true. It's a weakness. It's amazing. They go from the best team in the league that way for many years, to a weakness. But Ezekiel Elliott last year didn't put up numbers like we're accustomed to seeing, and the cracks in the offensive line were evident then, right? Like, his fortune seemed to be very tied to the line. And I think Ezekiel Elliott has so far been a legitimately great back. I've never thought he's the best running back in football. Like, when my eyes are on Christian McCaffrey or Saquon Barkley or someone like that, I say qualitatively that's a higher level dude than Ezekiel Elliott. But Ezekiel Elliott had the offensive line. So how much of this is on him now to make that line better, right, through his play? How much is on Zeke?
You know, he cannot turn the ball over. I don't know how much more you can say. You know, whether he rushes for 200 yards or 100 yards, what you can't do is be part of the problem. It's one thing to not be part of the answer, but another thing to be the problem or the source of the issues. And he was the source of the issues last night with fumbles on back-to-back drives that really turned that game. And you just cannot have that from Zeke. Hey, one thing you have to do is take care of the football. The Cowboys have not done that this year. And once they turn the ball over, there's no chance they're stopping anybody. The Cowboys have allowed scores on 11 turnovers this year, okay? Yeah. When soon as they turn the ball over, the defense is not stopping them. And so you got to, number one, stop turning the ball over, and that starts with Ezekiel Elliott, your $90 million running back.
Okay, so I've maintained for years that Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones combined are actually a pretty good GM. They're above average. In the last 10 years, they average over 8 wins a season, almost 9 wins, like 8.5 wins a season. And that's not good enough if you call yourself America's team. Although the state of our country now, maybe it's better than we deserve. But it's not good enough, right, if you're supposed to be this great franchise. But it is better than average, so my hat is tipped to Jerry and Steven, who never earned their positions. Daddy bought the team and installed him and his son as GM. To me, if Jerry can put his ego aside and go hire an actually great GM, I'm giving them credit. They're above average. But they're not great, as you can see year in and year out from the performance of the team. They would do much better. And let me give you an example, and I want to know what you think. CeeDee Lamb was the best wideout in the draft and maybe the most talented player left on the board. They needed defensive help. Clarence, they went out and got a wideout at a position of strength for them. They needed defensive help. If they could redo that draft, what do you think? Do you take CeeDee Lamb anyway, or do you go get help for the defense?
Okay, first of all, that dog won't hunt right there, okay? CeeDee Lamb has been great. He's been exceptionally great.
Sure.
Name a defender that they would have drafted at 17 that would have made a difference for the defense. Most likely they were taking Kalavion Chase out of LSU. Look at his numbers. Look what he's doing. He's not doing a damn thing, okay? Mm-hmm. He would not help this defense. You don't pass up great players.
So basically take the best player on the board. Yeah.
You at that point, you had to, because CeeDee Lamb was so much far and above any other guys that were available. You had to take CeeDee Lamb. You can't go back and say they shouldn't have done that. And
regarding, Clarence,
the Cowboys changing their philosophy and hiring a GM, that dog won't hunt. This is Jerry Jones' team. This is Stephen Jones' team. It would never be another
but
guy.
But, you know,
well,
Clarence,
team.
I know if I bought the Yankees, right, I'd want to be GM. And by the way, 15 years ago, I'd have walked in day one, 20 years ago. Day one, I would have been a top 5 GM in baseball because it was populated by idiots at the GM level. Nowadays, I would know. I can't do it. Everyone has a 6 degrees from MIT and a staff who's even smarter than they are. Right, I would know as much as I used to be. I'm not kidding. With 20 years ago, I'd have been a top 5 GM in baseball my first day on the job. You could take advantage of them. They didn't know what they were doing. But now they all do. So Jerry has to realize this if he wants the Cowboys to get any better. I know you bought the team. It's a shiny toy you get to play with. Yeah, you own the Cowboys. You and your son get to be the GM. So you know what, Jerry? I'm a Giants fan. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. We don't have to worry about the Cowboys ever being great. That's the great Clarence Hill, speaking of great, from the Dallas-Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Thank you very much, Clarence. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Small business protection just got easier with more than 30 coverage options available. Progressive has you covered. More at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Are the Bucks about to make a big mistake with Giannis Antetokounmpo? With the Greek freak? Answer coming up. While you can't believe everything on social media these days, you can believe it's possible to start a new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. From the comfort of your own home, even if you have zero computer experience. Instead of waiting to see what happens when life gets back to normal, take control of your future now. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Live online classes meet just twice a week. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Jesse has a question for me about Derek Carr, huh? I'm not going to get to that yet. I want to talk about the Bucks and Giannis Antetokounmpo. Stephen A. said it on First Take today. They should trade Giannis. I agree. Here's what the Bucks did wrong. Let me explain it. When you draft high up in the draft and you draft a superstar, you have 6 years to make it work. 6 years to really challenge for a chip, to win a chip. To make that star believe that there are chips, you know, available in the future. That goes for Zion Williamson with the Pelicans right now. Clock's ticking. 1 year's already done. You got four more years, five more years, right? So why is that? Because places like Milwaukee never, ever, 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 ever sign a superstar free agent. It just never happens. It's never happened, and you can't bank on it happening anytime soon. First of all, these guys don't even like to sign in cold weather cities, right? Athletes like to be in the warm weather like the rest of us, by the way. And they want, and preferably they'd like a no state income tax situation. But if it's LA, they'll pay the income tax. Warm weather city. Yes, New York is a hard enough time signing guys. Well, that's mainly because of the incompetence of the Knicks. Now that the Nets are showing they can be competent, you see stars are signing there. KD, Kyrie. But the Knicks are incompetent. But if it was a warm weather city, it might be a little easier for them. Milwaukee, cold weather city, not a major cosmopolitan area. They're never going to sign type A, really A-plus free agents. You know, you get the idea. I don't mean type A by some strict definition. I mean, like, this guy's a star. There was a forward a couple years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, I'm forgetting who it was now, who wasn't a star, but he was considered maybe ascending, and it didn't work out, but he signed in Milwaukee for like $15 million a year. And I remember going, oh, look at that. Someone who got some money actually signed with the Bucks. So it's not going to happen. That's not how they're going to pair anyone with Giannis. So the way NBA contracts work is you have to leave so much money on the table after your initial rookie deal that no max contract level player ever in the history of basketball leaves that town before 7 years is up. Well, Porzingis left the Knicks. He forced his way out of town. That's what a clown franchise the Knicks are. Nauseating. But generally speaking, it doesn't happen. They'll re-sign because they get all this extra money. The CBA has it in place. The league wants it this way, that stars stay with their small market frequently and bad teams. That's why they pick so high up in the draft for the first 7 years of their career. But what happens is their agent comes after year six. And if they don't believe they can win a championship there, the agent tells the team, look, we're going to sign elsewhere next year. You might as well trade us now and get something for us instead of, you know, otherwise you're going to be left holding the bag. You're not going to get anything for us. Okay, for my client. So that's where Giannis is now. Giannis, who's been such a favorite son of Milwaukee and said and never was going to chase rings and tried to get people to join him and just lead the group he has, wanted to stay put. The Bucks cheap ownership made it impossible? Let me explain further. The history of the NBA is such that no dominant big can win without a dominant player who's not a big. Olajuwon won the first one before Drexler got there without a dominant guy who wasn't a big. But the fact is Jordan was out of the league. And so they didn't have to deal with really the best team in the league. They dealt with another team with a dominant big without another superstar guy playing with him, Patrick Ewing and the Knicks. And while Patrick Ewing's main offensive support was John Starks, Olajuwon not only had a young Horace Grant, had a young a young Robert Horry. People forget at that time he was a small forward. He's being compared to like a young Pippen. But a young Sam Cassell and a veteran Kenny Smith. Kenny the Jet Smith, of course. And at any rate, in the absence of another team like that, they were able to win a championship. By the skin of their teeth, by the way. Skin of their teeth. John Starks got a shot off game 6 at Houston. Olajuwon got his fingertip on it. If that shot goes, Knicks win in 6. But the point is, even Olajuwon, it was a special circumstance. And Sam Cassell wound up being an arguably great player. And Kenny Smith was an excellent player. Who'd I just say? Robert Horry. One of the great clutch players ever, as it turns out. But otherwise, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar won 6 chips. 1 with Oscar Robertson, 6 with Magic Johnson, 0 without them. Even Kareem needed a guy just as good as him, who wasn't a big. Shaquille O'Neal, even when he had Penny freaking Hardaway in his prime, couldn't win a chip. And they had Horace Grant and Nick Anderson and Dennis Scott, couldn't win a chip. Got swept by Hakeem and them, who had, by that time, Clyde Drexler with him. So another great player who's not a big. It took Kobe freaking Bryant and a prime Dwayne Wade for Shaq to get. Shaq has 3 chips with Kobe, 1 with Dwayne Wade, 0 without them. Giannis is a big. Don't let the handles and the passing fool you. He's a big. And he can shoot the 3 a little bit if you leave him alone. He's a big. He needs another dude as good as him to win. He's in a market where they're never going to get a free agent, where they have 6 years to make it happen, and then the agent says, you need to trade us or we're going to sign elsewhere. So what happened? Why am I calling the Bucks ownership cheap? Malcolm Brogdon was on the team, and he's a very good player. And instead of paying him, because they would have gone to the luxury tax, and they didn't want to pay that luxury tax, they let him sign elsewhere. And as a result now, they really need to make a trade for a Bradley Beal at least level player. If you could hold on to Middleton and bring in a guy like Bradley Beal and Giannis Bradley Beal, now Middleton is your third best player, you have at least a chance to win a championship, right? What did AD do in New Orleans? And he had Jrue Holiday and some good players. Nothing. When he got with LeBron, a non-big as good as he is, he won a championship. So what are they going to do with Giannis? They failed to sign Brogdon. And so now they can't even match up salaries to get a superstar to come in without gutting their roster. Which means they won't win a championship, which means if they don't trade Giannis, he's going to leave and they're going to be left with nothing. And you know what I say to the Bucks ownership? Serves you right for playing the city of Milwaukee cheap, you cheapskates. Do you understand every owner in the NBA? Their team winds up being worth multiples of what they bought it for. So the equity is rising because they're really real estate deals. The equity is rising constantly. They're making so much money on their investment. That's not good enough. They have mechanisms in place to suppress player salaries, like max contracts and all this, and billions in TV revenue. And that's not good enough. The owners of the Bucks also want to make a profit every year. So the increase in equity, which is going to give them multiples of their initial investment eventually, not good enough. They also need to make millions every year off the investment. Because the people of Milwaukee, not good enough for them to spend some money to maybe not make such a huge profit every year. And now, because they were penny wise and pound foolish, they will not be able to trade for a superstar good enough to get it done without losing Middleton. They will not win a championship. And because they're being obstinate and they won't trade Giannis, they will not re-sign him. And 2 years from now, they will be nowhere. In the words of Robert De Niro in Copland, what he told Sylvester Stallone, you blew it. You had a chance and you blew it. Serves you right. So the Dolphins are turning to Tua as their starter. Last take with you next. It's champion versus champion at UFC 254. When Khabib Nurmagomedov takes on Gaethje. Coming this Saturday, October 24th, is at a special start time, 2 p.m. Eastern, on ESPN Plus. Pay-per-view. Khabib Nurmagomedov looks to add yet another victory to his perfect 28-0 record, by the way, 18 inside the distance, when he defends his title against interim champ Justin Gaethje, coming off a nice win. UFC 254 is exclusively available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $64.99. Or sign up now just to get UFC 254 and an ESPN Plus annual plan for $84.98. Visit ESPNplus.com/PPV for more details. Last takes next. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app at SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Investigates Season 2, The Running Man podcast, is now available. Subscribe and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
Keep it short and sweet, people. I, as usual, have not left enough time for your calls. Jesse in L.A., you're on the Max Kellerman Show. Go!
What's up, Max? Big fan. Are you finally giving some respect to Derek Carr?
Yeah, he's played very well this year.
MVP conversation.
I don't think quite MVP yet. He'd have to have a couple of repeats of last week's performance to get there. I think he's had a very good season so far. About 3 or 4 years ago, he was sort of on the outskirts of the MVP conversation. I felt he regressed. That may have had something to do with the fact they had a dominant offensive line that year. But so far, so good from Derek Carr this season. Donovan in Virginia Beach. You're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Hey, what's going on, man? Hey, because Odell Beckham isn't happy, my Raiders are going to trade for Odell Beckham. And we're going to have OBJ and Henry Ruggs for Derek Carr and Darren Waller and Josh Jacobs, man. That's all I got, man.
Interesting. I would say this. Odell Beckham I like the most on two different teams. The Patriots, would give them a weapon they just haven't had recently. And Odell's just a great football player. You know, it's not just that he can catch the ball. He can do anything you want on a football field. Give Cam Newton and Bill Belichick Odell Beckham Jr. look out. Or Green Bay. You send him to Aaron Rodgers. Remember when he said we're one finger short? There it is, Odell Beckham Jr. Chuck in Pennsylvania, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Hey, Max, long-time listener, first-time caller. Calling to see if you could settle a debate I'm having with my son about who the MVP is going to be in the NFL. I'm thinking Pat Mahomes because he's magic on the field. My 10-year-old son, though, says no way it's going to be Aaron Rodgers because Pat Mahomes is surrounded by incredible talent and Rodgers is doing it by himself.
Yeah, I would say neither. I think Pat Mahomes is the best player in football. I think Aaron Rodgers is second, and he can make it unclear who's number one by the end of the season if he plays like he had in the first four games. Like, forget about the last game. He had a bad game. So did Mahomes, sort of. But 2 games ago. I think Russell Wilson's going to win the MVP. He's been the MVP so far, and he hasn't gotten a single MVP vote yet in his career, first place. So the sentiment is with Russell Wilson, and he deserves it. Like, Russell Wilson in any one season maybe hasn't been absolutely the best, but over 4 or 5 years, he's been the best player in the league. Like, MVP, it's always someone else, different name, and, like, you know, Lamar or whoever, but it rotates. Not everyone's there every year. Russell Wilson's the only name that deserves to be in that conversation every single year, like half a decade now. So I think the sentiment is going to be with Russell Wilson, and so far, like, if it was given out today, he would deserve it. Gary in Kentucky, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Max.
Yes, Gary.
I think you do a great job, man. I enjoy listening to you.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that.
You keep the good work up, man, and keep Stephen A. out of your life, okay?
Stephen A. is great. Let me tell you something. You work with a lot of people in the business. One thing you never have to worry about with Stephen A., when that little red light goes on, that dude could have a 120-degree fever. He could be on his deathbed. That light goes on. That red light goes on. He is ready to perform. No excuses. That's my dude. Clayton Kershaw goes tonight. Come on, Kershaw. Sandy Koufax, big game pitcher. They won the World Series. Fernando Valenzuela, big game pitcher. They won the World Series. Oral Hershiser, big game pitcher. They won the World Series. You're as good as anyone who ever lived, except when they need you most. At least do a five and dive. Don't give up a ton of runs. Max Kellerman Show.